If you have your Bible this morning, find, if you would, please, the book of James. James, chapter number 1. Also, while you're right there at the book of James, come a couple of pages back to the left and put something in the 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews. James, chapter number 1. Hebrews, chapter number 11. These will be the two texts that we will have going forward here from the scripture. I'm excited to preach to you today, and I'm preaching to you today a message that I know that God has burned upon my heart. He's burned it upon my soul. He has confirmed it in peace, and I'm excited with wonderful confidence to stand today behind this desk and preach to you from the Word of God. I have been the pastor here for 12 years, for those of you that are visiting with us. We have a wonderful love relationship, and I'm asking my church family today, and I'm asking the guests today, if you would do something unique, just a little bit, and you would allow me in your mind to preach to you. I'm asking you to let me preach to you. I'm asking you, don't turn me out, don't turn me off, and don't get mad at me. Amen? Well, half of you, that's about good, and that's good enough. Man, when you come to church, you come wanting to hear the Word of God. And I respect that from our people so wonderfully. They have a love for God's Word. And I'm telling you today that I'm preaching a message for you. I'm preaching a message that if I could plead it with anything, I would. And so I've asked the Spirit of God to set a Holy Spirit unction upon me today, fresh and anew. We had a wonderful service at 8:30, and I trust that you'll know His power in His presence in this service now. Find, if you would, please, the verse number 14. Let me read a couple of verses to you from the first chapter of the book of James. The Bible says this: "But every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death." I want to preach you a message today entitled, "Sin, When It Is Finished." Sin, when it is finished. My desire today is not to crush you. My desire today is to draw you near to the heart of God. I'm hoping and praying that the Spirit of God will allow me to say the phrase, "when it is finished, when it is finished, when it is finished, when it is finished," so many times that it indelibly impresses upon your heart, your mind, your soul, that you think about it when you go home, that it has a lasting impression upon your life, that it will become memorable to you. When it is finished. James says about sin that when it is finished, it brings forth death. He's reminding us of this biblical truth. And James is reminding us that there is not only a starting line of sin, but there's also a finish line of sin in our lives. And there's a course that sin runs. When you find in verse number 13, the starting place for sin is a place called temptation. All of us are aware and understand what it is to be tempted in our lives. Temptation can come to us from many sources. The three most common sources would be Satan himself or the demons of hell. The world and all the allure that the world has to offer, by the way, the god of this world is Satan himself. Or temptation sometimes can come within the soul of man, or within our own sinful nature, or from within ourselves. And so James is reminding us in this book that the starting line of sin is temptation. The course that it runs is that we allow that temptation to set in our life. It sets in a place of lust. It sets within our soul, our mind, our emotion, our will, our feelings. And as that temptation temptation sits within the lust of a man's soul or a woman's soul, enticement begins to develop. Attractiveness begins to find lodging. Curiosity begins to spring. And there's kind of an adventurous kind of movement in that direction. Once sin has lust and found its lodging in the temptation and lust, and the enticement has begun, there's a conception that takes place within the human heart and mind. And when that conception happens between lust and enticement, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, I'll show you in a moment what the definition of that is. But the end of the course of sin is death. Sin, when it is finished, brings forth, say it, class, death. This is what it was prophesied, and God said it would be this way. When you go all the way back to the book of Genesis, God speaking to Adam and Eve in the garden had all of that provision for them that they could eat of every tree freely except the one tree in the middle of the garden, the tree of the knowledge of good and of evil. They were not able to handle the knowledge of good and evil, and God, for their own good, was protecting them for that. And so God told them not to eat of that tree. For in the day thou eatest of thou tree, thou shalt surely, what class? Die. The Bible says in the New Testament, for the wage of sin is death. And so sin always brings death. The course of sin, the finish line of sin, will always be death and destruction. And so the Bible talks about two specific types of death, and I believe I can show you a third death. The Bible says that sin brings about physical death. The reason you and I, if we're not raptured out of here, will die in our human bodies will die, is because of sin. Sin is the reason there is death in the earth. Sin. Had mankind never sinned, mankind would have lived forever in that body created out of the dust of the ground. But upon man's sin, God said to Adam, thou shalt return to the dust of the ground wherein thou wast created. And so man now knows physical death because of sin. There's also a spiritual death that the Bible talks about. And this spiritual death speaks of the eternal separation of a man's soul and spirit from God. This is something that you do not experience right now. This is something that would be set up later. But for anyone who allows sin to run its course in their life, without being born again or saved or coming to the Lord Jesus, if they die in their sin, they will experience the second death. John the Revelator, by the way, mark down October, the first Sunday of October. I'm studying the book of Revelation, and I plan on the first Sunday of October preaching through the book of Revelation on Sunday mornings. Pray for me at that. John said this. He saw that death and hell were cast into the lake of fire, and this is the second death. Why do humans die? Because of sin. Why are there people in hell? Because of sin. Sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. I submit to you, there's a third death. And the third death is a social death. And that social death is the effect that sin has on the relationships of our lives, on the themes of our lives, the dreams of our lives, the plans of our lives, the homes in which we have, and that how that sin, even when it has run its course in those areas, brings about death. Sin, when it is finished, brings death. Pastor, sure seems like a lot of death for somebody eating an apple. Well, my friend, I don't think they ate an apple. I'm not sure what they ate. We'll know one day. But I do think it's imperative that you understand how God sees sin so you don't misjudge God. So I want to ask you to do something for me, a little bit participation here, just quietly. I want you to pretend like Pastor called on you and asked you to come to the pulpit, and I would like you to give to the class a definition of sin. Just think about that. If I called you from the balcony and I said, come give your definition. If you had to define in a sentence sin, how would you define sin? I hope and pray that the definition of sin that you have would be the same definition of sin that God has, for it is God, not man, that defines sin. I got to say that again because that was powerful and I didn't say it at 8:30 and God just gave it to me. Matter of fact, I didn't even study that sentence. It is God, not man, that defines sin. And sin, when it is finished, will always bring death. So, Pastor, how does God define sin? Both in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, sin has multiple words that describe it. And the definition is unified, but the words are colorful. In the Old Testament, the word carries with it the idea of to err or to miss the mark. Same in the New Testament, to err or to miss the mark. Listen to other words in the Old Testament as they describe sin. It's the meaning of guilt, to be guilty of something, to pervert, to make crooked, to stray, to break away, to rebel against authority. Other Bible words are wickedness, iniquity, rebellion, frowardness, unrighteousness, ungodliness, works of darkness, error, transgression, trespass, offense. What is sin? If you wanted to define sin, it's the transgression of the law of God or the transgression of the word of God. And the word of God is the person of Christ. The word of God is the nature of God. And anything that transgresses God's holiness, God says, is sin. Okay? To come short of God's glory, to turn one's own way, to forsake the Lord, to do that which is wicked in the sight of God, to do that which is amiss and wrong, a lack of righteousness. Listen, to a holy God, sin is wicked, and God hates sin. But praise God, he loves us sinners. And in this room next to Malcolm, I'm second, and then we could go on before, okay? But God loves a sinner. And it wasn't just eating an apple. It wasn't just how man tries to trivialize sin. Sin is the transgression against a holy God. And God takes that very, very seriously. Pastor, where did sin come from? Don't say Adam. Don't say the garden. Sin did not come from Adam, and sin did not come from the garden. Adam brought sin to the human race. But the Bible says that wherefore as by one man sin entered, not originated, entered into the world. So death by passed upon all men, for all have sinned. Where did sin come from? Sin came from the rebellious nature of a creation called Lucifer. Lucifer was an angel that God created to give him glory and to worship God continually. And Lucifer said, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to dethrone you. I'm going to submit you. I'm going to exalt myself over you. And I am never going to worship you, and you're going to worship me. And God said, oh yeah, that's not going to happen. And God dismissed him out of heaven. Lucifer comes down to the earth to ravage the creation of man and becomes into the nature of that serpent. And in that garden, Lucifer shows up and brings about that rebellious spirit and brings about that temptation to Adam and Eve that brought into her lust as she saw that, and enticement began to develop and conception took place, and she transgressed the word of God. And sin when it is finished, brings forth death. When I think about that, one word helps me, and I want to preach it to you. And that one word is disappointment. Disappointment. Would you say that word out loud with me? I didn't say it. You jumped me here. Okay, here we go. One, two, three. Disappointment. Disappointment. Physical death is so disappointing. We went on vacation. My wife's dad died 2 years ago. So unexpected. So unexpected. Woke up on a Tuesday and said, I don't feel good. Died that afternoon. Always said he wanted to die healthy. Bless God, he did. He died healthy. He has an 80-acre farm up there. He got a farmhouse, got a old, the most beautiful, dilapidated barn you've ever seen in your life. All his old equipment is up there. All the little projects he was working on, it's all right there. You walk in and you can see his life everywhere. I caught her in a moment while we were there. She says, I miss my dad. So disappointed that he's not here. Physical death carries a disappointment, doesn't it? You watch the news and you see our people getting slaughtered on the streets, killed in accidents, murdered in violence. They got their whole lives. And in a moment, it's gone. And you watch them speak to these families and they're like, we're so disappointed. Sin, when it is finished, it brings forth death. I think about going to hell. And I think, thank God I'll never go to hell. I think the people in hell, for the most part, are so disappointed. I want to say this to you. If you're a member of our church, or you sing in the choir, or you teach or you preach, and you die and you go to hell, you're going to be so disappointed. Pastor, preaching and teaching, singing in the choir, a member of a church, you're saying those people can go to hell? My friend, if you're not born again, you're going to hell. Me being the preacher has nothing to do with me being eternally saved. When I was a little boy, I got on my knees and I said, God, I'm a sinner. I can't save myself. Jesus, you died for me. I want you to save me. Come into my heart. Make me a Christian. And he did. I think about the rich man who died and went to hell. He suffered in that torment. So disappointed. Father, could you send Lazarus to take his finger and dip it in water and touch my tongue? And God said to him, sir, Lazarus can't come. Why? Because there's a great gulf fixed between him and you, and he can't pass. And then Jesus said this about that man. He said, remember in your lifetime all the opportunity you had. My friends, I know the bumper sticker says hell is where the party is and I'm going to have a great time, but when you go to hell, you'll be so disappointed. That spiritual death is eternal separation from God. Eternal. Sin, when it is finished, brings forth death. Praise God, you don't have to go to hell. Praise God, Jesus came and paid and died for my sin. Praise God, I don't have to let the sin run its course in my life and face the spiritual death. Sin ran its course in my life and it met the Savior and his blood cleansed me from all my sin. God, so disappointed. Social death. Social death deals with it deals with the things of our lives. Sin when it is finished, brings forth death to our dreams, to our hopes, to our families, to our relations. Can you imagine? I got some biblical examples. Can you imagine how disappointed Eve must have been? Satan told her, you're going to be a god. When she bit into that thing, her expectation was something marvelous and magical and mystical is going to happen, and I'm going to become a god. And she bit into that thing and she realized there's only one God. Imagine how disappointed she was when God came down and ushered them out of the garden. You know, imagine for the first time she felt pain and loss and nakedness and loneliness. She's covered in the stench of animal blood and she's looking around as the thorns and the thistles are growing. She has no idea. I should have been a god. So disappointed. So disappointed. You know, imagine Lot. Lot moved into that city. Lot had a choice, and Lot chose the well-watered plains of Sodom, that wicked city. Lot took his family into that city, and they set up a kingdom in that city. Lot sat in the gate. They made money like crazy. They were known and wealthy. And God came, and God said, Lot, I'm coming to judge the city. Get your family. And the man goes to his family, and they mock and they scorn him. He loses everything in Lot, or in Sodom and Gomorrah. And as he's being dragged out, his wife is destroyed. His girls are full of incest, and Lot would be so disappointed. I think Lot would step back and say, I wish I would have never chose the well-watered plains of Sodom and Gomorrah. I lost everything. Sin, when it is finished, brings forth death. What about Achan? Achan saw that Babylonian garment. He saw that wedge of gold. He thought, I've got financial stability for my family. Everything we could ever imagine is right there. All I got to do is take it. The problem was he transgressed God's word. God said, Achan, don't take it. The last thing that goes through Achan's mind is his family under that fire and stoning judgment of God. And I think Achan would have thought, so disappointed. God, why did I do that? David made a choice to be where he shouldn't have been. He went out on that balcony and he let his eyes go. And he saw a beautiful woman taking a bath. And immediately temptation developed in his heart. Immediately lust began to develop. Enticement began. Conception in David's heart and mind. And David said, go get her for me. Sin came out of that. Sin, when it is finished, brings forth death. David would later be confronted by the man of God. And the man of God would say, thou art the man. And part of the judgment of David was that the sword would never leave his house. Do you know that after that event, David's own son killed his brother? Do you know that David's own son raped his daughter? And do you know that Joab killed the son that David loved? And it would be later that David would say, Absalom, Absalom, my son Absalom, would to God I had died for you. I'm so disappointed. So disappointed. David would have traded anything to go back. And the Bible says, pleasure in sin for a season, but it also says, when it finishes, it bringeth forth death. Listen to what Solomon wrote about his dad. Stolen waters are sweet, and bread eaten in secret is pleasant, but he knoweth not that the dead are there. And her guests are in the depths of hell. David had those stolen waters of immorality, that eroticism, that sensual pleasure. And he had the night of nights in his flesh. But he was so disappointed when the course was over. What about the prodigal son? Destroyed his inheritance, destroyed his family, destroyed his parents. All for fleeting moments. The Bible says he came to a place in that hog pen where he was so disappointed. He came to himself and he said, God, what have I done? I love the story of the prodigal son. You know why? Because no matter how far you get, you never get past the reach of a forgiving God. The devil tells you, you're in too deep. There's no going back. It's too far now. The devil's a liar and a murderer, and he has been from the beginning. And my friend, let me tell you something. If you're willing to humble yourself and repent, God is willing to forgive you of every one of your sin. I'm so disappointed. Paul would later write, I hate when I sin. Sin, when it is finished, it will kill. It will destroy. And here's the problem. People don't see sin the way God sees sin. An unsaved person, they don't see the physical death and the spiritual death that sin's going to finish in their life if they don't get saved. The Christian somehow thinks that they can play with sin like a slinky. It reminds me of what my son did to me the other day. Listen to my words very carefully so you don't get me confused. We were watching Pawn Stars. And man, it's hot in here. They had a guy brought in one of these old monkey toys, and it was worth a lot of money. Tommy's laying over there on the couch. He's got three bags of chips and whatever. He looks at me and he says, Dad, you remember all those old toys when you were young? They're worth money now. Son, what do you mean? He said, yeah, those things are ancient. They're worth money now. The problem is God's people, we play with sin like it's a slinky or a yo-yo. I had a man say to me, I just didn't think I was going to get caught. I had a woman say, I didn't think I'd get hurt. The problem is, class, when it's finished, it's going to kill. It's going to kill. It will always bring death. Oh, it may not damn you to hell as far as you're saved, but it sure can destroy your life. And many of God's people, so disappointed. What have I done? I love Moses. And I love the 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews. Would you let me finish here, please? Verse number 24. Actually, I won't finish here, but it'll start me there. The Bible says, Hebrews. Did I say Moses 11? Hebrews 11. Verse 24. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing, such an important word there, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Now watch verses 26 and 27. Esteeming, valuing the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. For he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. Pastor, what does that mean, respect unto the recompense of the reward? Look at verse number 27. By faith he forsook Egypt, and fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is, say it, class, invisible. Moses was able to lift up his eyes and to see. The Bible says where there's no vision, people perish. The Bible says a prudent man foresees evil and hideth himself. If any man had all the opportunity in the world that was provided by Satan and the world and himself, it was Moses. Moses could have feasted his lustful appetite on anything Egypt had. He could have been satiated with what he had there. He could have plunged and just feasted on all of the vice of Egypt. But Moses lifted up his eyes. And he looked down the road and he knew that even though Egypt had pleasure for a season, the end of that course would be death. And even though Christ was rough and bumpy at the beginning, the end of that road is life. And Moses, when he had a choice between death or life, he chose life in the person of Jesus Christ. Amen. There is a place of quiet rest where sin cannot molest near to the heart of God. James chapter 1. Here's the promise and the thought James wanted to leave. Verse 14. Every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed. When lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. Sin, when it is finished, it bringeth forth death. Now watch this. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Every good gift, every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the, say his name, Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Here's what James says. James says, sin runs a course, starts with temptation, ends with death. Be aware of that course, physical death, spiritual death, social death in our lives. But understand this, every good and every perfect gift comes from our Father. There's no shadow, no deceit, no change, no variableness in him. And he's trustworthy with our lives. And here's what your pastor wants you to understand today. Sin will destroy you. If you do not get born again and you die in your sin, you will go to hell. You will go to hell. Pastor, I don't believe that. I know. But one day, you'll be so disappointed. Christian, Satan's going to offer you in the world and your flesh every good thing it has. But the problem is, to get what he has, you've got to sin against God. You've got to transgress his word. And all the pleasure's going to be so awesome in the beginning. But in the end, it's going to bite like a serpent. It's going to sting like an adder. You don't know it, but the dead are there. And her guests are the guests of hell. Because when sin's finished and your life running its course, it will bring death. So, Pastor, what do I do? Well, praise God, where sin abounds, grace does much more abound. So if you're here and you're not saved, the person who cuts off the head of that sin course in your life is the Lord Jesus. He died for your sin. You must be saved and come to him. You must repent and let his blood cover you. You have to receive him personally as your Lord and Savior. No longer the second death. It's eternal life for you. Because my sin ran a course. And when it was running a course in my life, I put the roadblock of the cross, and the cross wins every time. Praise God. Christian, you have a choice. You have a choice. You can let the course of sin run in your life. It will destroy. It will bring death. It may not hurt you. It might hurt your wife, children, family, your dreams. I don't know. But I promise you this. When it's done, the Bible is the Bible.
That's right.
And it will bring death. Pastor, I'm in a situation right now as a Christian where I've given myself into the position of sin and it's running a course in my life. How do I stop it? Right. You stop it again with the cross. Does that mean I need to be saved again? No, no, no. But that means you come to the cross and you find the cleansing power of the blood of Christ to restore you, to lift you, and to save you, or to save you from that particular moment and to lift you. Now, here's what the devil will tell you. The devil will tell you it's too late. So if you believe it's too late, then go talk to the thief on the cross in his dying breath. Lord, remember me. God saved his soul.
Right.
If you think it's too late, let's go talk to the prodigal boy who had nothing and was in the hog pen. And he came to himself and God redeemed him. It's never too late to stop the course. Satan will tell you everything so you let it run. And when you get done and you let it run and he destroys you, you'll be so disappointed. So disappointed. Amen. Would you pray with me, please?